Lyle across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Where there's a little bit of light snow, but nothing like what we're seeing south of 29 across Wisconsin and will throughout the day on this very snowy Friday, January 12th. Just about 7:07, and nice to have you along for Up North News Radio, where you can reach us on our studio line throughout the day at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. You can call that number. You can also text us questions. You can text us your latest weather reports. You can also do it over on the Facebook pages for Up North News or for Civic Media. And if you do, you would join people like Rob here, who puts up on Facebook that it is starting to snow in western Shawnee County as of 6:50 this morning. So we appreciate that. Thank you so much for the little update. The temperatures right now range, is putting it mildly. Hayward is at just 2 degrees. Oshkosh and Waukesha are both at 30 degrees right now. Somewhere in the middle, you've got 12 degrees here in Chippewa Falls. Park Falls at 14, Wausau 26. Green Bay reporting 29 degrees right now, while La Crosse is only at 16. Wisconsin Rapids 26. Madison's at 27. And again, up in the Wausau areas where we find Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who's been tracking all the fun. And
oh, yeah.
I only call it fun because I'm not driving in it today. I get to just watch it, but we urge lots of caution for everybody, of course. But Brittany, tell us how it's all going to come down, quite literally.
How it's panning out. All right. Mm-hmm. So today's the day, the big snow day. I know a lot of schools have closed, which is good because things are going to get worse as we go through the afternoon. So we're just at the start of it now. That snow starting to ramp up a little bit into Janesville. And down in towards the Milwaukee area, it starts to lift north very lightly. And as we go through the afternoon, we'll see mostly a heavy, wet snowfall, especially into our southern portions of the state. Notice those temperatures, right? They range quite a bit. If you live up to the north, you're going to get a little bit of a lighter, fluffier snowfall as we go through our day today. So here's what's happening. I want everybody to expect pretty much throughout the entire state, 5 to 10 inches. Plan for that. And I also want you to shovel in shifts, because we have cold, cold air blasting in behind this system. So if you don't get the snow off your driveway, it's going to be a big old block of ice come Saturday and into Sunday. So here's what's going to be happening. Hardest hit is going to be down to the south first. We could see some really high snow rates first hitting in towards Richland Center, Madison. We're already seeing a wave of heavy snow pushing up the Lake Michigan shorelines. That's headed in towards Sheboygan over the next half an hour to an hour or so. We're going to continue to see it light at first, ramping up this afternoon because of the winds. This is a really big lake effect snowstorm as well. Those winds whipping up to 40 miles per hour by this afternoon off of Lake Michigan. It's going to increase that snow rate, and it's also going to start to turn it out of the north a little bit, which will make it fluffier as we go through the evening. So different snow as we head through this system. What we are looking at, the hardest hit is overnight into the evening and into overnight when those winds are coming off of Lake Michigan. Then they start to whip off of Lake Superior. This is where we're seeing blizzard warnings issued now. Did you know that?
Brown County? Yes, I saw that this morning.
Yes.
Blizzard warnings in northeast Wisconsin.
Absolutely. So we've got the Fox Valley in it all the way through Door County. We've also got Lake Superior. So Bayfield and Ashland County are in a blizzard warning as well. You could see anywhere from 8 to 15 inches of snowfall. You could push a little more in some spots. It depends where that heavy snow band sets up and sits and how long it sits there. That's why this storm is so hard to really pinpoint how much you're going to get. But it's going to be a good chunk, and it's going to be a doozy, and these winds are going to be terrible, and it's going to be recovering the roads with blowing and drifting snow. Do you kind of remember the snowstorm last Christmas, how the cold blasted in behind it? That's what we're going to have again.
In other words, if you didn't get your Christmas lights down,
that
window has closed, and you can do it while listening to the opening game of the Brewers season is probably how it's going to go. Again, just to clarify for our radio listeners, Brittany's advice was to shovel in shifts, just in case you were thinking you were passing judgment on what kind of snow this is. And that's the other challenge about this, Brittany, is that that wind. I mean, not just the temperature dropping going to freeze what's fallen, but if you're trying to move what's fallen, you got to watch where it's going because it may blow right back onto your driveway. Or and also, by the way, be a good neighbor. Don't do with the snow what you like to do with the leaves and hope the wind just blows it all onto your neighbor, you know?
I think that lets everybody know what kind of neighbor you are, Pat.
I like my current neighbors. What are you talking about?
I don't know how those leaves got there.
We're not going to mention people who no longer live in the 54729. That's I'm not a petty person that way. Brittany, again, I mean, we're talking days and days of below zero for low temperatures, right? This is going to last.
It is. Nope. And you know what I'm kind of worried about is the fact that we're having 50 mile per hour winds, especially the closer you are to Lake Michigan, they could gust up to 55 miles an hour. Oof. Power outages with the heavy snow and then the cold behind it. I'm concerned. So generators, make sure you have a flashlight nearby. Just keep that in the back of your mind.
It's where you went and loaded up on provisions, as we like to say at this time of year, because you're going to need it. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot, thank you so much. I know it's going to be a busy day for you. Hunker down and have a very nice weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
You too. Stay safe, everybody.
You bet. Thanks so much, Brittany. Appreciate it very much. It is 7-12 right now. And in sports, I mean, the Bucks, it's not even fair to call it a blowout of the Boston Celtics. They trounced Boston 135-102. They will host the Golden State Warriors on Saturday. And you can catch the Bucks games across Civic Media stations. They include... There it is. Lake Air and Amory, WRGN and Racine, 98Q Country in Park Falls, Oshkosh Air Support, and News from the Center in Richland Center. Catch the Bucks hosting the Golden State Warriors on Saturday. The Badger men's basketball team hosts Northwestern tomorrow morning at 11. I'll be curious to see if the weather plays any kind of a role in that one, but right now the game is set for Madison. Tomorrow at 11 in the morning. And you can catch Badger men's basketball action on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air and Amory, WRJN in Racine. And then let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, yeah, we mentioned earlier the Brewers
and you can
have
catch,
reached deals.
You can catch those.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Luke.
You can catch those Wisconsin Badgers on the Civic Media app. So if you are hunkering down and you're not traveling, you can, you know, tune into your Badgers on the app.
That's a good... And, where can we learn more? Civicmedia.us.
There you go.
We'll tell you more.
It's a free app. Go to the app store. Just type in Civic Media. Really easy to download. Yeah. Take with you on the go.
Your app stores, your Google Plays. That's one of the things I've been doing is loading apps. I finally replaced. I had one. You're familiar with Apple TV. Not the streaming service, but the little black box, you know, that gets, you know, your Netflix and everything else. Mine finally died after many, many, many years. And so I replaced it because it's one that we use for one of the other rooms in the house. But it gets to the whole notion of electronics disposal because I've got like this little remote. I don't have the Apple box with me, but I also have the little hotspots for Wi-Fi in the house. I'd replace that network at some point. So I've got all of these weird little electronics. It's not like a cell phone that you could necessarily reuse. And it just reminds me just how much electronic waste we all generate every year. And, you know, you want to find a good place to get rid of it.
Does your community do e-waste recycling?
They do have a clean sweep. And in what can only be called one of the dumbest coincidences in history, for whatever reason, every year when Chippewa County does their clean sweep, I'm out of town for some reason, or I have something going on. I'm like,
oh no,
I missed another one of these. I've got so much junk in my garage that could qualify for some of this stuff. So
yeah, that's what I do now is I have a box in the garage and Sun Prairie does it twice a year. And I was out of town for the last one. So the box is very overflowing right now. It's due for the spring because they do it spring and fall. And so I got to make sure that I do not miss the spring collection because I've got a lot of stuff that needs to get recycled in that manner.
Same here, man. It's piling up. And as far as getting back to the apps, now again, every app has, you know, some kind of value, especially the Civic Media app. But I also the thing I'm looking to spout off about is that sometimes with sports teams and sports leagues, they're on different streaming services. Kind of like Peacock tomorrow has one of the NFL playoff games.
Yeah.
And it's Kansas City and who? I forget who.
Miami.
But, Miami. Oh, there are so many people angry that they have to, sign up for and then download another app. I follow a particular college hockey team, not just the Badgers, but one that my son-in-law works for. And most of the time, you can catch those games on what's called the NCHC app. I think that's their conference, the National Collegiate Hockey Conference. But sometimes they go play in other markets, and you have to get that app. So there's a different app for the Big Ten. There's a different app for the Mountain West. I'm like, I just want to watch TV. But no, you have to know all of your apps now, your Disney, your Netflix, Amazon Prime.
Oh yeah,
it's so much.
Paramount, what if they put it all Peacock, in just all of them. There's
what if
so
they
many.
Put it in just one place? One place, and we'll call it cable. We'll call it cable TV, and you just watch it that way. I would like that very much. Who's got the Packer game? 3:30
Fox. Our Packers are going to be broadcast on Fox this weekend. So
Or
on the Civic
across
Media
the
Network.
Civic Media Radio. Yep, on radio from the center, WRCO in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. These ones are not on the app.
Correct. The Badgers, since they are collegiate, we do stream them on the Civic Media app, but the professional sports teams like the Packers, the Bucks, and the Brewers, those do not stream on the app, but you can listen to them on the terrestrial dial.
And all kinds of high school sports that you can catch. I mean, Chad Holmes sometimes manages to call. He'll call three games at once.
It's very impressive. I don't know how he does it, but it's very, very impressive.
He is playing three-dimensional chess out there with high school play-by-play. No, he's got a lot of great folks that he works with to cover all these games. I think I was in mid-sentence and did not finish the note that the Brewers reached deals with Corbin Burnes, with Devin Williams, and with Willy Adames yesterday to avoid going to arbitration with all those players. And so the Brewers will have a new manager, and they may lose some other players, but it's not the fire sale that some of us were fearing.
No.
Take a pause here, and then we'll unpack some more of the news on this Friday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Lake Wasota. This is Up North News Radio. You can catch what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. Get our daily newsletter. We'll tell you all about it in just a bit. You're up north. Back on Up North News Radio at 7:20 on this Friday morning. Nice to have you along over at Up North News, which is a separate entity from Civic Media, though we appreciate using their real estate for 2 hours every weekday morning. Up North News has a daily newsletter that Christina Laurie puts together for us. And looking at today, she's been working these past couple of weeks on looking back at 2023 and some look-ahead stories for 2024. And this time around, she's listing some of her own favorite stories from 2023. She talks about a story that makes it easier to go bird watching in Wisconsin, especially for bald eagles, some of the good places to go for bald eagle watching in Wisconsin. She lists a bunch of bests here of stories where they were originally featured. There was a best cheese story about Uplands Cheese in Dodgeville, how Hayward has the best city flag in Wisconsin, Merrick's in Green Bay has the best fish fry, the best independent bookstore is Arcadia Books in Spring Green, there's a best new bakery that she lists as Miggy's Bakes in Madison. Let's see, where else have we got here? Well, I mean, Giannis being named best pro athlete, of course. Every one of these is a link, and if you click on the link in our newsletter, you'll go to the story that we wrote in 2023 for all of these subjects, all of these people. She's done a few stories on the Dane County Farmers Market. The best uniquely Wisconsin meal is the Cannibal Sandwich from Salmon's. So again, links to all of those things right there. See, she also includes in here a link to our apparel store. We started putting out some t-shirts and some tote bags, and you can catch all of those at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, as well. My favorite being the dictionary definition of a bubbler as it relates to Wisconsin. So go over to upnorthnewswi.com, click store in the top banner, and you can get yourself in there. Mark Jacobs is going to join us in just about 10 minutes, and we're going to talk about media coverage of the stories this week, including, of course, the Iowa caucuses that are now just 3 days away. And by the way, you're going to hear almost entirely about the Republican field. And it's not just because, you know, Joe Biden isn't getting much of a challenge, of course, being the incumbent Democratic president. But Democrats moved away from the caucus system in Iowa since 4 and 8 years ago and have moved in more into a vote-by-mail system. And so those ballots have to be postmarked not until March 5th, which is Super Tuesday. So in a sense, Iowa is actually taking part in Super Tuesday now on the Democratic side, because that's when they will announce who won the mail-in voting that takes place there. It's the Republicans who are holding on to the caucuses in Iowa. And yet, despite a year's worth of campaigning, despite 4 different criminal trials, despite 91 different criminal indictments or charges against him, former President Trump is still leading handily. And again, as Kia Vakil said, barring some kind of an act of God, Trump is going to trounce Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis and the rest of the Republican field. And so then everybody turns to New Hampshire and says, okay, that's a straight-up primary. Might Nikki Haley do as well there as she seems to be doing in the polls, you know, within striking distance of actually topping Donald Trump? Closer to home, a little note about the labor shortage in Wisconsin and the cost of doing the wrong thing and the cost of doing nothing about the labor shortage in Wisconsin. You can't make more babies and more workers, you know, on a dime, even though I continually hear some Republican politicians saying, well, we just need to be having more kids. That's not the answer in the here and now to the labor shortage. We've known for decades that baby boomers were going to be retiring and that there was going to be a demographic gulf here in the United States, which provides the perfect opportunity to reform immigration. Welcome people in who want to work hard, who want to raise a family, people who are looking for safety and security from whatever war-torn or crime-ridden nation they may be coming from. But instead, all we're hearing about is get rid of the right to an abortion, make people have more babies, that'll get us more workers. And in the meantime, let's incentivize people to leave retirement and come back to work. Right, good luck with that. And then the last one, well, let's loosen the rules on child labor. Let's get more kids in the labor force. And you see some of the results of it tragically. For example, there was a lumber company where a teenager was killed on the job, a 16-year-old who died in July after being pinned in a wood stacking machine up in the Florence area. And now a Northeast Wisconsin lumber company has been fined nearly $300,000 by federal safety regulators for continuing to expose workers to dangers, including amputation, years after an employee was killed on the job. In other words, they lost a worker. A worker died. They were told to make things safer. The company decided not to. They've now been fined $300,000, which I guess is the cost of doing business. Rather than looking out for the safety of your workers, better to protect your profits and just set aside some cash to pay the fines. The U.S. Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, announced this week that Tigerton Lumber Company was being fined $283,000. The agency said that in an inspection last July, they uncovered multiple violations of federal safety regulations, inadequate guards on machines, stairs without railings, conveyors not fenced off, open electrical boxes, and a lack of signs warning employees not to enter certain dangerous areas. The inspection was part of an OSHA program to monitor severe violators. The company was listed as a severe violator after a 46-year-old employee was killed there in 2018 while working with logging equipment. And again, as mentioned, the other sawmill at Florence Hardwoods, they paid nearly $200,000 in penalties after that 16-year-old was killed over the summer. An ensuing investigation found that three teens ages 15 to 16 were hurt at the sawmill between November of 2021 and March of 2023. Now, that's not to say that teenagers can't work in places that might have hazards. The point is to try to mitigate those hazards as much as possible. But not only are businesses and conservative politicians not really caring about the safeguards, they're continuing to push for relaxing the work rules themselves, where right now miners can't be forced to work an onerous number of hours during the school year and can't work late into the night during the school year. Then Republicans are pushing ways to weaken those laws, which only increases the dangers. And yes, they say, well, we have a worker shortage. We need to do more things, and some of our teenagers can do these things. Is that really the right long-term answer? Is to make it tougher for them to get a good education, make it tougher for them to stay safe, when the answer of reforming legal immigration is right in front of your face, if only you could see things a little differently than you do right now for political gain? Mark Jacob joins us in just a bit. You're up north. Now on Up North News Radio at just about 25 minutes to 8 o'clock on this Friday, January 12th. We've come to the end of another long and challenging week in the business of covering political news. And Mark Jacob comes along, as always, on Fridays to help us decipher some of the coverage. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
It's hard to know where to start each week when we look back at how the media is or isn't learning lessons about covering somebody who is openly hostile to American democracy. But I feel like we have to go all the way back to the very start of the week when Meet the Press's newest host, Kristen Welker, who I had assumed was a rather qualified journalist to begin with. But it's a big responsibility sitting in the chair of one of these shows, having politicians on live, having them lie to your face, to America's face, and then you do or don't challenge them. And she said and did nothing when Congresswoman Elise Stefanik referred to the rioters of and the insurrectionists as hostages. And she just let it pass. And I would have thought by now on Friday there either would have been like some kind of a statement, a formal apology from her, or something, because that was such a I don't even know how to describe it. Such it's malpractice. That's what
Pat,
I'm looking
but
for.
But, Pat, that's what they do. I mean, they won't apologize for it because they're going to do it again. In my view of that, you know, I went back and looked at the whole interview with Kristen Welker and Elise Stefanik. And by the way, Elise Stefanik, she knows she's lying about all this stuff.
Yes.
You know, she's a Harvard grad. She's a smart person. She has just decided to make a deal with the devil. She's decided that she's going to lie for power. And I mean, it's just, she's just an evil person. I mean, I don't know how to say it otherwise. And so she's on Meet the Press. And I'm going to defend Kristen Welker to you, because here's what's really going on here. Yes, you're correct. Kristen Welker did not push back on the hostages thing. She pushed back on a couple other of Elise Stefanik's lies. But the real mistake is having Elise Stefanik on in the first place, especially live, because because there's no way that you can keep up with it. I mean, I watched the thing, and Lisa Phonak is a, you know, is an excellent liar, and she's lying. She's dropping three different lies in the same sentence. So how do you counter that? I mean, no person, not you, not me, not Kristen Welker, can counter that. You'd be stopping her every three words. It's crazy. And that's bad television. And that's, so what you do is, in my opinion, what you do is you say, Ms. Stefanik, if you lie, I'm going to stop you and we're going to go through it. And so please don't. Or you say on the air, Ms. Stefanik, if you don't stop lying, we're going to have to cut this interview short.
Yeah, because otherwise you're all the time is going to be spent double checking. And you reposted something from Jay Rosen, a journalism instructor at NYU, all about the fire hose of falsehood, the Russian style of propaganda. And forgive me while I read through a bunch of these, but here, when you hear this list, you're going to think of Donald Trump, Elise Stefanik. We especially will think of Ron Johnson. This is how you do it. High volume, multi-channel approach, shameless in the willingness to broadcast lies, no commitment to or requirement for consistency, rapid, continuous, repetitive messaging. The point is not to persuade, but to overwhelm or confuse. Assume there's already a low-level trust environment and lower it further.
Right.
Number of arguments matters more than the quality of the arguments, and drowned out competing messages through sheer volume. I mean, if you were programming a Ron Johnson robot, that right there, that's the DNA. And you see it again in Elise Stefanik and Nancy Mace and in all of them.
Right. It is volume and repetition. And, you know, you saw, I think yesterday it was that, you know, Trump is saying, you well, we it was the day before. He said, we won't have time for retribution. After him saying retribution, you know, a bunch of times. And so he says the lack of requirement for consistency is a real good point there because you know, you can blow up their lies. You know, and I wrote recently in my Stop the Presses newsletter, I wrote, you know, that they just keep on talking and talking and talking, and you don't have to be consistent. It doesn't matter. It's just a matter. It's of the volume, and so Jay really gets it right there, and it's human nature. The more times you hear something, the more likely you are to believe it's true, and they've undermined journalism's credibility so much, and the real truth of it, Pat, is they don't even care if you believe them. They would prefer that you believe nothing. They want you to just give up on the whole system. They want you to believe nothing that you see in media, including trusted, formerly trusted sources. And they want you to say, screw it, I don't care, I'm going to go watch TV and you know, watch The Bachelor, and you guys can handle politics. They really want to exhaust the American public so much that they just give up on politics and hand it over to the Republican Party.
They not only want low information voters, but they want people who've come to the point where they're proud of being a low information voter, that somehow detaches them from the ugliness of politics, when what it really detaches them from is citizenship.
Right. You know, and you see, and some of the lies are so absurd, but this is part of my point is that fact checking has become increasingly, you know, ineffective against these people because they lie. And, you know, they don't care if they get fact checked. They don't care if you. It's impossible to effectively debunk these people because they will just say, "Oh, that's a lie in news media." You know, you had Donald Trump Jr. yesterday saying, "Well, you know, we're better off now than we were 3 years ago, even in the middle of the pandemic." Well, what are you talking about? He said, by every metric, we are better. I mean, does the jobless rate count? Are you kidding me? And you know, so it's just it doesn't matter. They don't care if they get debunked. I mean, this is why the kind of my mantra for the year has been: fact checking is not enough. Fact crusading is what's necessary. People in journalism must be so offended by the lies that they directly confront them. And that's why someone like Elise Stefanik needs to be directly confronted live on national television and told, Elise Stefanik, you're lying, and we're going to cut short this interview if you don't stop lying.
Yeah, or go with the other approach I brought in is just stop having people on live and actually devote a show or a segment to just playing back the tape of them on other people's shows that right. don't stop them and right. and break all that down. Over in your newsletter, which we can find at stopthepresses.news, again, it's been quite a week because we've been looking back at coverage of the January 6th insurrection 3 years later. And the both sidesism in the headlines was just depressing. The Associated Press had a headline called "One Attack, Two Interpretations, Biden and Trump Both Make the January 6th Riot a Political Rallying Cry." And then USA Today, you know, chimed in, quote, "For Donald Trump, January 6th was a beautiful day. For Joe Biden, it was a day we nearly lost America." And then USA Today proceeded, you say, with a story that acted as if they didn't know which view was more valid. You know, the dueling realities right. of this, right. again, just says they've learned nothing.
Well, no, and but the thing is, they know. I mean, they clearly know who's lying and who's telling the truth. They know it wasn't a normal tourist visit. They know, you know, that it was a deadly assault on the U.S. Capitol. This is factually, it's just it's been proven so many times, it's ridiculous that we're even talking about it. But they go to their safe space. This way they don't piss anyone off. You know, this might be this. And Pat, that's not journalism. I mean, it's not. It's ridiculous. That's just a jump ball journalism, if anything. It's just deciding, well, we don't know what the facts are. Here's what one person said. Here's what one person said. You know, the moon might be made of green cheese. We don't know. I mean, that it's so embarrassing for the news media to behave that way. But it's their safe space. It's a place where they don't make anyone mad, and they don't get complaints. And they feel like they're doing their job, but they're really not. They're utterly failing at their job.
It does appear that, and I'm going to give you and some other prominent folks credit. I think you and a few other folks just completely shamed the New York Times into changing one of its headlines. The original headline said, "Clashing over January 6th, Trump and Biden show reality is at stake in 2024. And after a few hours of pushback, the headline got changed to "Trump Signals an Election Year Full of Falsehoods on January 6th and Democracy." That had right. to happen. That first headline was inexcusable.
Right. It was inexcusable. You know, I on social media, I pounded them, and many other people did too. And and I don't know whether that had the effect of making them change it or whether they just thought about it. And my theory is that, you know, New York Times, Washington Post, a lot of them, that the editors who are in charge of writing the headlines have been instructed to just play it safe, to don't take sides. You know, the interesting, because what you see when you study the New York Times, as I do now, is that the stories are actually fairly hard hitting, a lot of them. I mean, they've gotten yes. past the point that they were in 2016, where they were afraid of the word lies. Sometimes they will actually say lies, but whether they use that word or not, they're making it utterly clear in their news stories that Trump is, you know, wants to be a dictator and will lie constantly. But the headlines, you know, just they go generic. They just they're very scared of telling sharp truths. And the damaging thing there is that obviously we know more people read headlines than read articles.
Right. And so then what happens is when somebody says something outrageous, once upon a time, it used to be treated as such, that right. this is something outrageous. For example, a former president and presidential candidate, you know, wishing out loud for the economy to go bad. And as right. you noted, you had predicted last week, or no, you just said last week, you know, Republicans want the economy to go south. And then Donald Trump comes up just a day or two after you post that and says outright, you know, "I want the stock market to fail."
Well, that's an exasperating thing, is that these guys are saying all this. They are. They're saying, you know, he's saying, "I want to be a day one dictator," that kind of stuff. They're saying it. It's their, I mean, can't you get it through your thick skulls? They're saying that they want to do that. They're saying they want the economy to crash. And the incompetence in the House Republicans means they're going to probably shut down part of the government because that's not bad news to Republicans because they're not getting anything done anyway. They don't care about little people. They don't care about about just a regular guy who's a federal worker who wants, you know, a paycheck, or they just don't care about anything other than money and politics. So, and power. So, So it doesn't matter to them, but people,
well, speaking,
but they're telling us everything that they want to do.
Speaking of power, though, the other event of this week was in one of Trump's many trials, where, you know, that one of Trump's lawyers says in so many words that a president could order SEAL Team 6 to kill a political rival. And as long as you can get 34 senators to block any impeachment conviction, you can't be charged with a crime.
Again, well, yeah, that's the idea. What a world. Did you have a president ordering, you know, an elite military outfit to go massacre all of his political opponents? And then, well, let's take this to Congress. Let's hold hearings. No, you'd have to stop the guy. He's like committing horrible crimes. And right, this is the argument. And the thing is, but Pat, under that argument, Joe Biden could just take Trump out and shoot him today, right?
Right. Yep. All you need is 34 senators. And don't tell me that you couldn't find a cabal of 34 senators. I watched what happened in Bosnia. I watched what happened in the Philippines. I've watched what happens in Hungary. It doesn't take that much at all to get just enough people in elected or powerful positions to do things that you thought were unthinkable in your country.
Right. And it doesn't, never takes a majority. That's a really important thing to understand too, is that, I mean, in this country, it's clear that the majority of Americans are appalled by Trump and are appalled by this whole autocratic movement, this fascist movement. But you don't have to have a majority to win. That's why we should be very alarmed and why we need to be active.
Yeah, and it is quite literally why every vote counts. Every vote has to count. And no more so. And yeah, people have heard it every cycle. But again, this cycle, there is nothing more important you can do right now than vote. Mark Jacob, thank you again for reviewing the week's headlines with us. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
See you then.
All right. When we come back, we will have Dan Schumacher with us. You know, Dan's been a good sport. The Bears are not in the playoffs. Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers will be. So we'll find out what Dan has to say about that. We'll even ask the very handsome Luke Mathers, according to his screen. Oh, that's a Greg Bach quote, not from you. What he thinks of the Packers' chances in Dallas. All that right after this. You're up north. Dan Schumacher joins us now. He's on the road at a conference or something, and appears to be in a Turkish prison cell or something like that. Are you able to hear? Are you able to hear whatever Grateful Dead tune Luke picked out for this week?
It's called "So Many Roads." So many roads.
Okay, there you go. All right. So where are you this week?
I'm in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
And I am attending my 27th NCAA convention.
Okay.
So, good people down here. It's great to see my colleagues. And the only thing unfortunate, Pat, is that, of course, I'm losing my voice from talking to so many people.
Yes.
I am. And it's like I just walked outside here. It's underneath palm trees. But it's 42 degrees.
42?
42. Yes.
Oh, you poor SOB. Oh, my God. I don't know how you're coping with 42 and palm trees out there. But
yeah.
So what are the issues that a humble Midwestern athletic director talks about at meetings like these?
Well, I specialized this week, and my lecture was about enrollment management and how you use athletics as a tool to gain enrollment. And that means sport expansion. But it also involves the argument about Title IX as you go about that business. Mm-hmm. The Title IX issue, how many sports you start, proportionality, different things like that. Hey, there's a bus just went by.
Well, of course. You know, that's okay. We hear you fine.
So that was basically my focus. But attending different kind, you know, Northland College is members of two different conferences. So I meet with two different sets of athletic directors in the meantime for organization for the coming year, especially schedules, things like that.
Okay. And you've done this long enough, and you have the kind of tenure there, and people know you well enough. Did you get a lot of Do you get a lot of sympathy?
My voice is hoarse because of that.
Or it might have something to do with the football game last weekend. Are you getting a lot of sympathy for the way the Bears ended their season?
Yeah, it was very disappointing. I could tell you that. I really thought they had a chance to win. And they did. They did. And of course, you see now the whole offensive staff for the Bears have been fired. So, you know,
oh, really?
I don't think that was the right decision. I would have got rid of the head coach.
It's always funny who takes the blame for these things. Luke, you look like you're trying to get something in here.
You're
Mr.
not
Mathers.
The only you're not the only Bears fan that I've heard of that was upset that they went with the offensive staff rather than the head coach. So
exactly right, and I mean, so what that tells me though is by not getting if you would have gotten rid of the head coach, that means you're keeping Justin Fields.
Yeah.
They kept the head coach, so Justin Fields is going to get traded. And I think that's the bad move. I would rather have seen Jim Harbaugh come in. He's a quarterback whisperer, you know.
Jim Harbaugh's a little busy these days, isn't he?
So I'm just disappointed in the game. Congratulations to the Packers, you know. And I think Detroit's the hottest team in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be a good Detroit fan this week. I will not cheer against the Packers, but I sure won't support them.
Wow. I thought maybe because it was the Dallas Cowboys, we could win you over for a weekend, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, I hope it's good football. I hope it's good football.
I do too. That's what I'm hoping for. And you know, Luke and I were saying earlier, look, we're not putting our hopes up sky high, but I'm also not immediately chalking this up to a Dallas win. Yeah, they haven't lost at home in over a year, but that does mean they're due. They can get complacent. Maybe Mike McCarthy gets up for this game, but that doesn't necessarily mean the whole rest of the team does. So, you know, I would say, like you said, we're just hoping for a good football game.
Speaking of Mike McCarthy, okay, his line of BS to so many, the whole world, that he doesn't care about the Packers, this doesn't mean anything extra to him. Things like that, that's crap, to be honest with you. Everybody knows it. I mean, when you go to play your old team, the team that you used to be coach at, you want to beat them badly. So does he really think we're all that stupid on that?
No, he's very much invested, and it's where, you know, he has the potential to choke, where he had, you know, where he feels the urgency to make, you know, one move that he otherwise wouldn't have done. And right. So I think that's what's going to make it so enjoyable. Hey, as somebody that is in the wide world of sports there, this is a little bit beyond what you do from day to day, but I want to get your thoughts on one of these NFL playoff games on a paid streaming service, Peacock, tomorrow for the Dolphins Chiefs. I mean, is that just where we're going, or is people as outraged in your community as in the outside world?
Well, first of all, Greg Byrne, the AD of Alabama, just walked by me. So he's a busy guy right now. I'm trying to find a new football coach. But
I thought I saw you handing him something. That was a resume, right? That you I saw yeah. Some paper being passed. How great would that be?
Yeah, that would be pretty interesting. No, it's, sorry, Pat. I lost my train of thought when I saw Greg Byrne walk by. What was the question?
There's celebrity again in here. Yeah. Let's just move on from that. I was asking you about Peacock and whether,
yeah,
you know.
I think it's ridiculous. I think okay. It's ridiculous, but here's the deal. They're only going to do one game. I mean, if they were going to do this and really change the way you view games, which I know is coming, everything's moving towards the streaming. We all know that.
Right.
But why do one game to piss everybody off?
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, do the whole weekend. And it forces people to sign up for it.
Commit to it. Make that commitment. Right. You're right. Yeah,
right.
This onesie-twosie doesn't get it done. No. All right. Well, eventually you're going to be back up at Northland in Ashland. What's happening up there this week?
Well, I was woken up at 4 o'clock this morning, your time, by the president of Northland because they're trying to decide to close school or not.
Sure.
For people to come to work and things
like
that.
Well, yeah, there's blizzard warnings up there.
Correct. So I've been up for a while.
Uh-huh.
And so... I'm hoping I can get back tomorrow to Minneapolis. So
yeah. I think so. I think things will get plowed out by then. But yeah, it puts. I remember us talking about this a year ago, and then you know what games can you make up and what games can you not, and that's part of the administrative fun of doing what you do. But on the other hand, along with all those headaches, you get to roam the streets of Phoenix at an early morning hour, and we are thankful that you took a little time to help us do that. Enjoy the rest of the conference. Travel real safe, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
See you, Pat. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Mathers, have a good weekend there. Probably in that studio, I'm guessing. You're going to consider yourself snowed in, right?
No. I'm a Boy Scout. I know how to get myself home.
That's right. I forget what an Eagle Scout you are. You're the man. All right. Thank you. And I'll see you on Monday as well, right, for one more day?
That is correct.
While Mr. Buck enjoys some well-deserved time off. Thanks to all of you for being part of this as well, wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network on this Friday. We appreciate you coming up on the lake with us for a couple of hours. Have a wonderful weekend. See you Monday.